the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow
the
money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. 3-hour banger lined up for you today. Good guests on the program. Aaron Renning, professional sports bettor, coming up in an hour. One of the best there is at betting the NBA. Brian Mahoney, who covers the league. We'll talk deadline moves. Will the Knicks make a deal? Is Giannis going to be out of a Bucks uniform by the deadline? That is in 90 minutes. And JT the Brick on the Raiders coaching situation. And would they listen to any other teams if they called about the number one overall pick, Pauly? We have door number one, door number two today. Win some, lose some in 45 minutes.
Yep.
You hanging in? Doing all right?
You all right, buddy? Good to see you. We're okay here with the weather. Brick is going to be very strong on that second question. Will they trade the pick?
Okay. Yep. Well, so how about this? And we have a lot of stuff to get into with the hoops card tonight. Very good games in action. We'll touch on the NFL, obviously, in the Super Bowl. This 2-week window now, obviously, that we're in for the Super Bowl. Earlier today, I saw a release on updated coaching odds in the NFL. Joe Brady was 12-1 hours ago.
Yeah.
12-1. He was like the fifth shot on the board to become the next head coach of the Buffalo Bills. And he's their guy. So I think it's actually a pretty good move. I thought Joe Brady should get a job in this coaching cycle. And lo and behold, it's going to be the team that he's been with. And now I saw a bunch of stuff come out from people either speculating or around the Bill situation saying that I don't think Brady was really McDermott's guy. And they were insinuating that Brady never really had a chance to run his full offense under McDermott. And so what will it look actually a little bit different? Could he actually make Josh Allen better moving forward?
Interesting.
How about that?
Very good. Well, it's an interesting hire. And considering, remember, he took over for Dorsey when he got fired and he lost his mind in the booth in the Miami game. But I love that it's going to be expected to be Jim Leonard to be the defensive coordinator taking over. That's a good 1-2 punch.
No doubt.
You mentioned the 12-1, and hopefully we get some other news here while we're in on the air. So we're down to 3 openings, and we'll see what the Raiders do. But the Browns, Haslam keeps changing his mind. Davis Webb is the favorite in some spots to be the Raider coach. LaFleur looks like he's going to Arizona, so now it's heating up here.
And as for the big game itself in a couple of weeks, I'm always intrigued to see like where this number is going to play out. Big bets that are going to come in. Circa took $1.1 million on the Patriots money line at plus 188. Jeffrey Benson here at Circa was tweeting about that and how they really didn't move it that much because it is a Super Bowl and they're not going to move the numbers that much based on one big bet like that. And I see when the games played out, in fact, when it was the AFC title game and the NFC game had yet to be played on Sunday, I was thinking to myself, well, regardless of who wins the NFC game, I think the public's going to be all over the winner of that game, and the sharps will then be making a case for the Patriots. And look, I mean, you're going to talk to different sharp people, and they'll have different perspectives and might be on either side of it. But the way it's shaping up only 2 days into this betting window at DraftKings, for example, when you go to vsin.com and check out the betting splits, early on, 79% of the handle on Seattle, 73% of the bets on Seattle. You're at Circa, and this has a lot to do with, obviously, that $1.1 million bet, but 65% of the handle on the Patriots, 62% of the bets on Seattle. And I was also thinking, like, does it ever go back to, down to like 3.5, or is 4 going to be the low watermark? Or can it possibly go? Is it going to ping pong the entire week between like 4, 4.5? Does it go back to 5, maybe touch 5.5 even? I don't think it gets to 6 ever.
Yeah, right. You're right, though. It's Seattle looks so good. Everyone's aware of the Patriots schedule and all the injuries. And it feels like it's just going to be, oh, Seattle's got to win, and Seattle's got to blow them out. I mean, you made the case yesterday that Seattle can blow them out and get aggressive with Alts. You know, is Drake May hurt? Vrabel's not going to give you a real answer anyways,
no,
right?
No, he's not.
Maybe he is hurt, how he struggled in the last couple of games. You know, just the facts, though, just the facts. We got a good tweet before the show. This is circulating on social media. Brandon Anderson, Patriots schedule, week 1, fired coach. week 2, fired coach. week 3, fired coach. week 5, fired coach. week 6, NFC South. week 7 through 9, fired coach. week 10, week 11, Jets. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. You know, I know Gil got into it today as well, but the third easiest schedule, DVOA, since 1979. I mean, that's going to get a lot of play as we got a week and a half to kill before the game, and Darnold looks so good, and the Seattle defense has been great, unless they're playing Matt Stafford.
No kidding. He's the one guy that can light him on fire, I guess.
Yeah.
So I will say this, tip of the cap to the audience, a lot of people from back east listening to the show, watching potentially on Nesson as well, going back over the replay. Too many to name. We did get a lot of feedback from people in that New England area saying, I completely agree with what you guys are saying. Like, I get it. This is like gravy. We're very fortunate. Uh-huh. We're lucky. We caught a ton of breaks. And if we can scoop a Super Bowl this year, it's just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But they also would say, you guys are, I mean, you can't debate the numbers on the schedule and everything else that's gone their way.
Yes.
So they did acknowledge it quite in full force yesterday. So mm-hmm. I read all the emails. I think I responded to all of them. So thank you. By the way, if you ever want to get in touch with the show, ftm@vsin.com is the email.
And how about Matt Parsons? And there was another guy, too, saying that they got, and he sent the ticket in. Late February, he bet the Patriots 150-1. He grabbed
that. Was available on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, DraftKings tweeted this out earlier today.
Uh-huh.
Somebody bet, I think it was January 21st of last year. So it's been in the account for more than a year now. 10,000 on Patriots to win the Super Bowl at 80-1.
Oh, wow.
That's out there. I wonder, when Mike Palm's in studio tomorrow, I wonder if the bet on New England here came from the guy as a hedge.
I was thinking the same thing.
Who was dancing all around town on the same day and bet Seattle up the wazoo back in August.
Yeah, that was a good point made. I believe that was off air, that the guy not only hit it here, he hit several spots with Seattle futures.
So this is Johnny Avello, head odds maker over at DraftKings, talking about his Super Bowl point spread expectations.
At 4.5. We're getting quite balanced, a good balance at that number, which means that if that's the way it's going to be, we're going to start balancing out at 4.5, and maybe they're going to start taking the dog on the money line, which I expect they will. We could have a double jeopardy problem. I mean, we're already stuck on the Patriots in the future, and then on the money line, they're probably going to bet the Patriots there also. So we got to be a little bit careful on how high we go and continue to make adjustments on the line.
A graphic we have up there shows 76% of the bets and 81% of the money on the Seahawks right now. Johnny, do you think some books might hit six on this before kickoff next week?
No, I do not think that at all. I think maybe five's a possibility, maybe 5.5, or there's a possibility it goes back down again too. No, I don't see six at all here, Maddie.
So every book can be different, right? Mm-hmm. We told you about the liability here at Circa. Like, they don't want the Seahawks to win this game based on future bets. Johnny said last night it's the exact opposite. They do really well to Seattle. They do not do well at all to the Patriots. And the reason why they opened up 3.5 is because they wanted to attract Seahawks money right out of the gates. And they got it.
Very good. Excellent. The other thing is maybe we should have seen this coming as well. I mentioned yesterday being a Viking fan. And they say, Darnold, okay, that's it. You stunk up the joint the last couple of weeks. We're going to move on. Did you see the Scott Hansen tweet? This is, he retweeted the NFL. Before we started the season on the Thursday night game, Cowboys and Eagles, the NFL put out a tweet. And if you look, it's the Santa Clara Stadium, and you see the Lombardi Trophy and all the big-time players representing each team. But if it says 32 teams with February dreams were so back. And if you look all the way up at the front, in the very front, it's Sam Darnold and Drake May. Are you kidding?
Well, I look at it the exact opposite way. All of those players are in the distance on teams that did not have high expectations. The faces of the league with the highest expectations were the guys that you could see in the very beginning, foreground of the photo.
Yeah, Barkley, Purdy. Sure.
That's the way that I look at it.
Yeah, you could do that too. But it's there's Burrow, there's Barkley, there's Purdy, there's Watt. Excellent. And then right up at the front, standing side by side, May and Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
So here's another piece of audio for you. This is Aaron Schatz, who is the man who created DVOA, which is referenced all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been doing this now for 23 years. He was on earlier today on a numbers game with Gil and Kelly, and he was talking about where the Patriots rank.
They rank 81st out of 96.
So the 16th worst. Yes.
So the 16th worst, but with a kind of asterisk, they have been much better in the second half of the season. I have a rating I call weighted DVOA that's weighted towards recent games. Using that rating, they had the biggest difference between weighted DVOA and regular DVOA of any playoff team ever.
Ooh, okay. So there's one for the...
How bad they were in the first couple weeks.
Yeah, and to the credit, right. Yeah. I mean, like their defense, for example, no, I mean, phenomenal.
Has this happened? If they win the Super Bowl, they lost to a 2-15 team. I mean, think about that, if that's ever happened before.
Good
the
one.
Worst loss ever for a team either in the Super Bowl or that wins the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's nuts to think about that. Number one, it cost them home field. Still worked out for them, but they lost to a 2-15 team at home.
I also saw this in response to something on social media regarding their schedule. And that is, well, I guess we're going to go full circle right now, right? Because the 2007 Patriots, they were the best regular season team ever.
Yes, I agree.
They did not win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
They were the best team to ever make a Super Bowl, and yet they didn't win.
Right.
The Patriots are one of the worst teams to ever make the Super Bowl, and watch them win it.
Yeah. I still was stunned what transpired in that Super Bowl. The pressure the Giants got,
mm-hmm.
the front four, and the pressure they put on Brady, considering they had just played, and they won in New York, and Brady and Moss had a huge game.
They scored 38 points, didn't they, in that regular season game?
Yeah.
Did whatever they wanted, and it completely flipped.
That wasn't fair. That just, you get the best quarterback of all time, either the best or the second best wide receiver of all time, and the best coach of all time.
I remember they
couldn't get it done.
I remember like watching that game. I know exactly where I was, and everybody had Giants money line where I was
ridiculous.
At. In the second quarter, I'm like, is anything going to happen in the game? Like, what is going on? Yeah. How come we can't get any points here?
We only had two drives in the first quarter, I think.
Yeah, yeah. What we're seeing tonight is nearly unprecedented in college basketball. We'll discuss coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So how about this? We have a team in college basketball undefeated. They're 20-0. They're on the road tonight. Opened up as a 10-point dog. They're catching 12 now.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it's also happened before. This is nuts. I would say it's the biggest game in the history of Nebraska basketball. Regular season, is it not?
That I can remember,
This is great that we're almost in February and we have three teams that are either 20 or 20-1-0. But Evan Abrams pointing out it happened a couple years ago. Oklahoma was 13-0, and Ole Miss in 2023, double-digit dogs when they were 13-0, and they both lost. But to have six quad one wins and to be 20-0, and the number keeps going up and up. Michigan has failed to cover six in a row, by the way. That's another thing,
because
they ripped right through the non-conference. They destroyed people, winning by 30 and 40 points. Then conference play started. And it got a little tricky, but then again, they're laying 18-15 in these games. But an 0-6 ATS run for Michigan, and you got some info on this game as it's on the move. We for 10.5, it was 10.5, but we're on the air yesterday. Now it's 12.
Yep. So there's more. And by the way, Scott Seidenberg, VSiN host, had a bunch of numbers on this at his website, betterday.com today. In his database, a team with 20-plus wins and zero losses. He was wondering if they've ever been a dog before.
Mm-hmm.
Going back, and again, per his numbers, it happened in 2014, Syracuse at Pittsburgh. Syracuse was catching 1.5 points, and they won outright 58-56. And when you have a top-five matchup with a 10-plus point spread, how about this? Favorites are 7-0 straight up, 5-2 ATS. Totals are 6-1 to the under. The only over was a double overtime game. So if you remove that 6-0 to the under, average score, favorite 78, mm-hmm. dog 61, and there's also this. Good information here about how many people are actually going to have the flu tonight for Nebraska. I mean, it's pretty much, it's a lot of the team. Getting IVs, did not practice earlier, don't know what status is going to be. There is a book in town here, Stations Casino. They have 157.5. I played under that. I would also maybe, how about Nebraska team total under?
Who's going to dictate tempo?
It's a clash of styles for sure.
It's pace 11th against 204.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed Adam Burke's preview and breakdown on VSiN.com. And he also got a plug in there for Peacock and like promoting the Copenhagen. What's it called? The
Copenhagen test.
And,
yeah.
And the hot TV shows on Peacock as the game's on Peacock. But, you know, I hope Nebraska fans don't act like Patriot fans. While it's a great story and you're good.
Whoa.
298 non-conference schedule. So while it's an awesome story, you have to point that out as well, that they were beating up on some bad teams. But it's a wild story, and this is great for college basketball that we still have Arizona, Nebraska, and also Miami of Ohio also in action tonight.
Yeah, Nebraska overall, they are 6-0 in quad one games, five of them in Big Ten play. They won at Illinois. They beat Sparty by two. Don't look now, but Sparty is power rated by some people as like a top four team in the country. And Michigan's overall schedule, Torvik has it the seventh toughest in the country. KenPom, second toughest. They have quad one wins by 4, 40, 30, 40, and 10 points. And that's back around Thanksgiving when they were taking teams behind the woodshed in every single game.
Yep.
And you're spot on. I mean, they like to get up and go. Nebraska slows it down quite a bit. And I will say, like, both teams are like elite defensively with their points per possession numbers, basically their metrics overall, their net rating with the defense, very highly rated. But to me, that 157.5 with a bunch of guys questionable because of the flu, that seems like a very high number.
I would also think if you want Nebraska, go first half. I mean, if these guys are sick and they're a big dog and the fact they could get, if they're going to hang, it's going to be early. And the possibility they could get run out in the second half as well. Also, Stephen F. Austin's in action tonight, 15-3 ATS. Number three in the country, actually number two, tied with Mercer. Best team ATS, one of the best teams ATS. And Miami of Ohio also in action, laying a big number. And they can score, too. They're like Arizona. They score a lot of points. And it's a different scenario, though. I mean, they need these games because if they stub their toe a couple times, I don't know if they're going to get an at-large bid.
Well,
I mean, again, Lenardi's got them like on the 10 line, a 10 seed right now, even though they're 20-0 and they've been so good and great offensively. So they're a big favorite today, but that's also something to monitor if Miami of Ohio can keep this going.
And another game, so the one bet that I have so far is on the total, the Michigan game, like I said. I also, man, this could be not a very fun watch for 2 hours, but I'm taking Kentucky plus 6.5. They're playing much better basketball as of late. Vanderbilt, meanwhile, they do have injuries. Frankie Collins is out. Duke Miles, questionable. Miles averaging about 16.5 points per game on the year. Good assist guy. Almost three steals per game as well. They're very good at home. And college basketball, nothing means more for home field in any sport than this overall in college hoops. They're 9-1 straight up in 10 home games this year, but only 5-5 ATS. I think Kentucky can take advantage of them down low. I think they can dominate them on the glass in this game tonight with their size overall and physicality and making it difficult if Vanderbilt doesn't have like a superb shooting night to gather up their own rebounds. And I think 6.5 is a big number. Torvik has Vandy by 12.5.
Oh, wow.
Greg Peterson made it the exact number 6.5, but I'm taking the Wildcats plus the points.
Another team I love, St. Louis, 19-1. Little concerned about the spot, though. Last time out, they bombed the Bonnies on the road by 35. They were 19 of 33 from three and led by 38 on the road. So now I'm thinking maybe a letdown spot here. After everything went in, they almost scored 100 points, but they have an excellent team, and they're another team to watch that's under the radar, that's having a great season. But laying 9 against G-Dub tonight.
Yeah, the market's moving against them too, St. Louis. So are they not?
They don't have a high power rate either. George Mason, they've been dogs a couple times. Yeah. You know, Miami was just a dog to Kent State.
Right. Could have, would have, should have lost that game.
That's true. George, this game here against G-Dub, even though the record's there and they're ranked, it's not like this unbelievable power rating. So, but it's also tough in conference, especially on the road, even though the St. Louis, the Billikens are at home.
NBA action tonight, bunch of games as well. The Clippers are playing late against the Jazz. Opening night, Utah beat them 129-108. Remember that?
Here we go. Here it comes now. Clippers, I do remember it, run out. They've won 9 of 10. They're 7 games back of the division. They have an easy schedule once we get to February. My guy, George, not going to play. Guy's been so good. PRA, points, everything is props. And I would think a little revenge. And also, they're hot, and the Clippers know they could possibly do this and pull this off. that they could win the division, or absolutely they can definitely smell the playoffs now after that pathetic start that they had. Now they're finally playing great ball. They only stubbed their toe with the road trip. They got blasted in Chicago.
I'll go back even more here, Paul. What did you say, 9-1 last 10?
They won 9-10.
So since December 12th, that's a good 6 weeks now, they have a record of 15-5. That is the best overall record in the entire league. They did play a second time this year. That was on New Year's Day. The Clippers got them by 17 points. Leonard had 45 in that game. I will point this out. I remember talking about this on opening night because the Jazz were huge dogs at home and they beat them, like we said, outright by 21 points. Home teams going back between these two teams, last 24 games, 19-5 straight up, 19-4-1 ATS. But George not playing tonight is... JBT has been pumping his tires for weeks now, saying that he has to win most improved player in the entire league. I'll give you some other trends going in these games tonight.
Well, there's some strong ones. Yeah, Mackin did a great job today.
That MackinandVeasan.com. Yeah. Over the total in the Nets-Suns games, going back to 2011, 12-3, over. Now, Oklahoma City's lane 14.5. I want nothing to do with this team right now. They just have way too many injuries, and they're really struggling to shoot the ball from downtown. They are 9-0 straight up, 8-1 ATS last night against New Orleans. Do you want to lay 14.5 with the Thunder?
No.
I can't do it.
Nope. Not the way they're playing.
No, lost back-to-back, big favorites at home?
I'd rather do it with the Knicks. Favorites are 11-0 ATS when the Knicks play the Kings in the Garden since 2015. That's incredible. It's a big number. But then again, Sacramento hasn't been able to guard anybody, and they've been playing some wild games and getting run out here in the last week or so. And the Knicks now, after the players-only meeting, have won two in a row, and they've blew out the Nets. Had the impressive win in Philly and the 5-1 overrun last six between the Pistons and Nuggets. That's a good game. You have to respect this Denver team. I don't care who's out. I said that over the weekend. I think they were catching 8.5 against Milwaukee. I go, how's Milwaukee 8.5 against anybody?
Yeah,
they lost the game.
Bucks were bet to the moon in that game.
I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just goes to show the depth and the talent that Denver has, even though we're just accustomed to the on-off numbers and how bad it's been without Joker, but anything but the case here the last month, how great this team has been in the show and their depth with these injuries.
I got to say, to tie in this sport with the NFL, Kyle Shanahan, to me, had a great resume this year, great case for Coach of the Year. I think Adelman with Denver is going to have a phenomenal case for Coach of the Year.
Only 5.5 back for the division, too.
And by the way, who's going to win the Atlantic Division? You know, the Raptors, I brought this up a couple of weeks ago.
The Knicks are in third place.
The Raptors were two back a couple of weeks ago. They were 55-1. They're one back right now. They're still 13-1 to win the division. They're one game back. They're a good basketball team.
Yeah.
13-1?
I hear you. One more. Bucks 3-11 without Freak. 11.5 points per 100 possessions. Negative when he's on off the floor. It's a disaster when he doesn't play.
Door number one or door number two is coming up next. We'll compare different prices in various markets to come up with bets for the Super Bowl and beyond next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN. It's time to play everyone's favorite Follow the Money game. Live from the VSiN studios.
Hey, guys. You ready to let the dogs out?
This is door number one.
New high score!
What does high score mean? New high score, is that bad? What's that mean? Does that break it?
Or door number two.
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
Here's Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard.
All right, Paulie. Yeah. So
it's been too long.
I know it's been far too long. Some of these props are available as we speak. Some of them I would love sportsbooks to post as props. This is available at DraftKings. A running back, fullback, wide receiver, or tight end to win Super Bowl MVP. That's door one, plus 230.
Yeah.
Door number two is any other position, minus 310.
Oh, come on. Door one. Absolutely. I think Seattle wins the game. And you can make the case for a lot of guys for Seattle to go off because maybe Darnold doesn't have to do that much.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. I mean, you can also, by the way, you sneak in for Seattle, you get Myers.
Get Myers.
You can
do better than 90-1, by the way.
I'm sure you can.
But that, yes.
You get JSN.
Yeah.
You get
Shahid.
You get Walker. I'm going to throw Barner in there.
I don't think Cup's not crazy.
Okay. And then on the flip side with New England, who would it be, actually? Is Henderson or Stevenson going to have a huge game?
That's where I would look. That's going to be tough.
Defensive player, Gonzalez?
I mentioned Gonzalez yesterday, 100-1. Gonzalez, Borgalis. A lot of field goals, big legs. Jones, I saw 60-1. Yeah, because to me, it's got to be May if they win the game, unless it's low scoring and he struggles again.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
But I think if New England wins, it's got to be low scoring. And it's because of the defense. You slow down Walker. Darnold has a couple turnovers, 19-16, something like that, 2016.
Sure. How about this one? Door number one, any defensive player to win the MVP, 16-1, any other position, minus 5,000.
Have a yes-no on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Where is that?
That's at DK.
Oh, great job.
Any defensive player, 16-1. I don't hate that.
That's not bad. It's happened many times.
Sure it has, yeah.
More than you think. What if you just get a bad game? You got to give it to someone. Larry Brown, O'Donnell throws it to him twice. Yeah, Tampa Bay. Was it Jackson? What was his name?
Yeah, it was Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, Tampa Bay. It happened there.
The last time we had a Super Bowl in Santa Clara, the Broncos beat Carolina.
Right.
Von Miller was the MVP.
Yep.
You had Brown get it from the Seahawks the first time they played against the Broncos.
Another one. That's a good prop.
Yeah, I like that one.
Good.
How about this? This is right in your wheelhouse. Drake May, Super Bowl MVP, around $2, or Sinners to win Best Picture, plus $250.
When did this become a hot take that it's not a good movie? My God. Brad Powers tweeted something about, I didn't really like it. And people were all over. I can't believe all the Oscar nominations. I can't believe
most ever.
I can't believe it. I didn't like the movie. I think I'll tell you what, L.A. Jones, of all people, had a great tweet. I liked it the first time I saw it from Dusk Till Dawn. That was a good tweet. Not bad.
What do you mean? I didn't see Sinners.
It's a vampire movie.
Oh, so the first time you saw it,
Dusk Till Dawn. It's Tarantino. Yeah. I don't get it at all. I think it's absolutely outrageous. And while
second shot on the board to win,
one battle after another's got to win. It's a weird movie. We'll never get political here. It's a weird movie, but I just think the acting's phenomenal, and I like the director. There's Del Toro, Penn, DiCaprio's awesome.
Let me ask you this.
The girl's great, making her debut.
Okay, so I went to a late showing opening night on a Thursday of One Battle After Another. I had to go see that movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I have not watched Sinners. Do I have to watch Sinners so I have it, so I can compare One Battle After Another to it?
Yeah, I want you to watch it to say I don't understand the hype.
Okay. What if I love it?
That won't happen.
Okay.
I've known you 25 years. You will not love that movie. If you do, I'll forget it. I'll be very disappointed.
So you would rather, you think Drake May MVP?
Yeah, all day.
Okay.
It's not a good movie. I can't believe this hype around this movie.
Do you agree with Paulie? On X, at VSIN Live, and Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. Door number one, Sam Darnold, 9-1 anytime touchdown. Seahawks defense, special teams anytime, plus 390.
Door two. Yeah, absolutely, door two.
Okay, so you're not betting.
See that happen.
You're not betting the no defensive touchdown in this game.
Well, I didn't say that.
Okay, all right.
You got that right.
Door number one, the Celtics to win the East, plus 350, or the Nuggets to win the West, plus 350. You can probably find better numbers somewhere else, but those are at DK.
Working on Bob Ryan. Got to get Bob Ryan on again. Want to hear his thoughts on this incredible story and team here. I know these Boston fans can't catch a break. They can't win anything. I got to go door one. I mean, they're going to get Tatum back, and Brown's playing so well, and how this is bombs away with this offense. This is great. I mean, they're 30th in pace. They don't get to the free throw line, but they keep winning games. Knicks are going through their issues. Cavs playing better. Still don't trust them. But still, Denver's got to go through OKC, got to go through San Antonio, got to go through Houston, maybe the Lakers. Still, Luka's been unbelievable here in this stretch. Clippers, no way. Door one. East is easier to navigate.
Okay.
Orlando's been a disappointment. Cleveland's been a disappointment.
Let me ask you this. Door number one, the Colorado Avalanche to win the West, plus 150. Or I will set this up. Door number two. Arsenal is currently minus 250 to win the Prem, 4 points clear of City and Aston Villa. Would you take the field to win the Premier League?
Yeah, door two.
Oh, you would?
Yeah, I could see them blowing this. Absolutely. Yeah,
plenty of time left here for them to lose it.
Yeah, a lot of matches left.
All right.
Yeah. Now, the Avalanche are coming down to earth, though, too. A couple home losses.
That's true.
And suddenly, they've had some issues. That's a tough call, but I would still have to go door two based on, you know, it seems like Man City finds a way to get it done every year.
I think a great prop for books to post right now for golf this year would be, will Scottie Scheffler finish top five in every tournament that he plays in?
Yeah.
Will he finish top 10? You can go top 20, whatever. But here's door number one. Scottie Scheffler to finish top 10 in every event that he plays in this year, or door number two. Yannick Sinner plays Carlos Alcaraz in all four Grand Slam finales in 2026.
Door two.
Only four events.
I got to go door two.
I would lean that way as well.
He's got to show up one time and not have it.
Right. Where
there's nothing wrong with finishing like 14th.
No, not at all.
There's nothing wrong. No.
Like he could, I think last year the worst place that he finished the entire year was 25th.
Yeah.
So there has to be one event throughout the entire year where it's like, yeah, Scotty, the putts aren't going in today. So he shot 14 under, and you know what? He finished 13th, whatever the number is. Sinner and Alcaraz, they might be so far ahead of the field, and that's four Grand Slams that we're talking about compared to every event that Scotty's going to play in. Well, we talked about this in the previous segment. This might be this might change your opinion on it, but Nebraska to make the Final Four around 8-1, or door number two, Nebraska to beat Michigan tonight.
Yeah, not happening tonight. Yeah.
Well, if they're going to have five guys with the flu or not playing.
Oh, man. Yeah, door one. No doubt. Boy, what a big move on Sinners. One battle after another was minus 1,600.
Yeah, now it's like
to win Best Picture, it's now minus 280.
Yep.
That is out. If that wins Best Picture, oh, come on.
I like how that fires you up more than anything else.
That's down to plus 250 for Best Picture. Come on. Oh, that's criminal. That is criminal.
Why is it such a bad movie? You don't like vampires? Is that what it is? Did you not watch the Twilight series, Paulie?
I didn't watch that either.
No.
I told you Tiana Taylor would take money, too. Best supporting actor. She's up to 250 now.
Well, then she won the Golden Globe, right?
Yeah. Not that it was an unbelievable performance either. But, you know, there's a lot of steam and a lot of smoke, and people love her performance. And she did SNL and all that, and the Globes, as I mentioned.
Well, this is from Jimmy on X. He is telling us that one battle after another is better than Sinners. Sinners is good, not great. He said, lay the juice with DiCaprio. But this is a thing,
DiCaprio?
Too.
For best actor?
No, he's, I think, probably or just talking picture. About that he's, oh, in, okay, yeah, yeah. that he's in the movie. Because, yeah. It's like Chamolet is
$5.
A $5 favorite now to win best actor.
Yeah.
But this is also like your opinion. I think you can't factor in your opinion to this. You got to read the room and what other people are talking about and how other award shows have gone.
Everyone loves Paul Thomas Anderson though. And that's why I think he's minus 1800 yeah. for best director, but will they give it best picture and best director? Because director, but then again, it was minus 1600 a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And now down to minus 280.
It's like the year that La La Land was such a big favorite over, what was it? The movie that actually won. What was that called? Moon something?
Moonlight. Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about.
I can tell you this. Like, now they were a big favorite. They presented, like, hey, they're the winners. La La Land. Oops, wrong. So we got that one incorrect. I did not have to watch La La Land to tell you I know I was going to hate the movie.
Yeah.
There's no way I would like that movie. And yet it was a huge favorite to win. And they announced them that it did. They did. And then there was a massive controversy because they read the thing wrong. What was that, by the way? How did he screw it up like that?
Yeah. Good job. Good fun.
Right, so
I can't believe it. I mean, Brad Powers just said people came after him, and it was like, called him every name in the book. He's like, because I didn't like the movie?
Well, don't forget, people wanted to battle us to the death, saying the Better Call Saul is better than Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Win, lose, next. How about a 14-1 run in the NHL? Paulie with the details next.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Hawks Pacers over 230 up to 234.5, 132 to 116. T-Wolves and under, ice cream. From 6 up to 8, 232, bet down to 225.5, 108.83. ran them out, and again, a team failed to do anything offensively.
That game, I think, had 41 points in the first quarter.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Yep. Oilers 250 up to 275. Anyone have Ekholm hat trick?
Isn't that back-to-back games?
Jonathan Davis thinks it's probably 100-1. Rangers goal in the first 10, 9 in a row. Kraken, 14-1. They're in action tonight. Goal in the first 10. Wild, 14-1 overrun for the game they play tonight. Predators, 11-1 over. 11-1 goal in the first 10. Road games. Win some. Mensah's going to Miami. Miami also adds a Duke wide receiver. He's going with them as they settle their dispute with Duke. He'll be on the move. Brady to become the Bills head coach. 12-1.
This morning, 12-1.
Yeah. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Luke sent this in. Fiona at the Cincinnati Zoo. Happy birthday. 9 years old. Watch this crust job. Give me the watermelon. Put that down, and he's wearing it. She's wearing it. It's everywhere. Coming out the sides and puts it down like it. Like, I think a Tic Tac. I just crushed that. No problem. Oh,
golly.
How big. I know.
It's never not impressive.
I know. Luke, do you have the other one where they put like the lettuce and stuff around and she comes out? I mean, just how big they are. Look at this.
Well, look at the teeth again.
I know. Here's the watermelon. You're right. I could watch it on a loop. And watch Fiona the hippo just destroy the watermelon.
Look at the size of the esophagus area right there. Yeah. Is it called something else for a hippo here? I don't know, but
a fair yard. But look at it.
Oh my God!
Out of its sides.
Like how many bites to like crack somebody's head open?
Oh, I know.
Half a bite done. Isn't there like a stat like hippos or rhinos kill more human beings?
Steve
and...
Cohen sent that in. Very dangerous animal. He said.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
People think because of the size of them, I can get around no problem. No, you can't.
No. Did you put New York in, Luke? You have time? I'll do that tomorrow. Excellent, with all the weather. We'll get to that coming up tomorrow. Very good. Lose some. Grizzlies, Rockets over 220, up to 226. That was no good there.
Did you get the email on the Spencer ladder props?
Yeah, from Suze.
Suze, yeah.
Susan Marie in Massachusetts. Hey, Suze.
She laddered him up to 13+, which is what he had. And the book where she found it was higher than 17-1.
Can you believe that?
I think she climbed every rung of the ladder last night.
All right. Susan Strickland. Merry Christmas. This is good. The one lose some. I don't know if they ever find the ball. The dog and the kid looking for the ball. The kid throws it. It goes out of his hand and it gets stuck in his hood. And the dog's like, well, where'd it go? Where'd you throw it? I saw you throw the tennis ball. And the kid's like, I have no idea. Well, that's the damnedest thing. Flips out of his hand. Looks like Stidham. And it goes back, and it's in his hood, and the dog is like, what happened? They never found the tennis ball. They never got it. Oh, unfortunate. The catch, no good. Very good. Sharp plays, we love you. The sharp line, before the line moves, sharp plays is already there. January isn't about volume, it's about precision. NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Advanced AI, proven insider sources, locked in on the NFL playoffs. They help identify where the sharp money hits before the number disappears. Free reports, alerts, market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. At it since 2011. And with Follow the Money since day one. Got to follow them. Trust Jeff and Sharp Plays. Documentary results, public logs, transparent receipts, sharpplays.com. FTM at VSiN.com. Great job the last couple days with the emails. FTM at VSiN.com. We always run into Peter and Valerie. When they come out, their city, they got 15 degrees and 20 inches in New Hampshire. My wife went skydiving when she was in college. She doesn't remember much before the chute opening because she passed out. An instructor had to float over to her and slap her in the face. She was able to pull the cord. They gave her the certificate of completion in exchange for the promise she never skydives again.
Oh, that's how scary is that?
I can't believe you did that. I would never do that. Never.
And by the way, that was... We did not go tandem. It was solo. And so the craziest thing when we went skydiving is...
Sounds like the Mission Impossible scene.
It kind of was. This is no joke. So they open up the door. There is...
Great scene in Edge of Tomorrow. You watch it yet?
No, I'll get to it at some point. So there's a couple of steps and outside the door.
Yeah.
You go, you take the steps down and you have to crawl out on the wing. And you're holding on to the thing that connects the wing to the plane. I'm not joking. And then you're still on the step. You grab the thing... And then you look over at the instructor and he goes, okay, now let go of the feet. And then you just take your feet off the step and you're flying to the plane. He's like, okay, bye. and it was a, the ripcord was tied to the plane. So then I only would free fall for like 7 seconds, and then whoosh, the parachute opened up, and then I floated down, and Lake Wissota looked like, you know, somebody spilled a milk carton.
Yeah.
It looked that small. And I floated down for like 3 minutes, and you could hear, I think you could probably hear me swearing from like, in a good way, like three counties over. And I just floated down to the earth and enjoyed like, whatever, was it 5 minutes overall? Amazing. So you said yesterday, you did not agree with me. We did. Do you concur? And I said, no more doubting Sam Darnold.
I'm not. It's not. I'm not going to say I told you so. If he struggles in the Super Bowl, I'm just saying he can do it. You can't dismiss that fact that number one, New England's got a great defense, and this guy, although he was great Sunday, led the league in turnovers.
Okay. And he, his numbers, to be honest, they were a lot better in the first half of the season than the second half of the season. But the oblique looked fine. And he was terrific in the game on Sunday. And had that been the Super Bowl, he would have been the MVP. So we have come a long ways for Sam Darnold when he was admittedly seeing ghosts with the New York Jets many, many years ago. He was asked about getting here after that moment in time.
Yeah, I almost forgot about it. So thanks. No, you're joking. You're good. No, I think for me, like I, you know, there was a lot that I didn't know back then, so you know, I'm just going to continue to learn and grow in this great game. And you know, there's a lot of stuff that I can get better from today. Even, you know, I feel like I missed some throws out there that I shouldn't miss. You know, there were some things offensively that I feel like we can do better. So we're always looking to get better. I'm always looking to get better. So that's the great part about this game is, you know, you win an NFC championship and you win games throughout the season, but there's always ways that you can look to get better.
How many times is he going to be asked about that moment in the next 2 weeks? I mean, he might get that 8-10 times on media day alone. And you look at that draft now, by the way, back in 2018.
I can't believe he's 28 years old. Seems like he's been in the league forever.
2018 came in.
Can't believe it.
He was selected third overall. That draft went Mayfield, Barkley, Sam Darnold, Denzel Ward, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, then Josh Allen went seventh overall. Remember, Josh Rosen went 10th out of UCLA to Arizona. And in the last pick of the first round.
Was that guy out of the league after 2 years?
Oh, I think it must have been 2 or 3 years. Yeah, they took Kyler Murray immediately.
Huh.
So with the last pick of that round, Baltimore traded in and took Lamar Jackson. That's the same draft we're talking about. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Mayfield, and this guy who appeared to be lost and without the ability to play in the NFL for the first, I don't know, what, 5, 6 years? Teams, multiple teams gave up on the guy. And he's the first one of the bunch to make it to the Super Bowl?
I give Kubiak a lot of credit, too, and the Raiders better hire him.
I would think that's the guy that you have to look at now.
No, outstanding job. Yep.
It's either him or Dable for the Raiders, right?
You would hope.
And
but
so,
knowing the Raiders, it might be Davis Webb. At Kalshi, he's the favorite.
Oh, boy.
30 years old.
I would strongly consider Clint Kubiak. What did you say? The latest on Dable is if he doesn't take the Raiders job,
he'll be the OC at Tennessee. That's the best he can do.
I find that hard to believe.
I know. He'll be the OC with the Titans unless he gets a head coaching job. It's like the Flores thing. Flores will be back with the Vikings unless he gets a head coaching job.
Right. Man, I
don't know.
Okay.
I think the Browns go Jim Schwartz too, it sounds like.
He's turned into a huge favorite too.
Yeah. Because Udinski took his name out.
Yeah, I guess the Jaguars announced moments ago that they're bringing him back next year. So he's out of the running for all the gigs then. Hmm.
That's a weird hire. The defense was fine. You need to fix the quarterback position, and you need to fix the offense, and they're going to go, what are they going to do there?
Yeah,
I guess no one wants the job because they have to walk into the Watson situation.
They're walking into the Watson situation. Yeah, I mean, that's the factory of sadness overall.
Yep.
And you have that division to deal with, I guess.
T. Rizzo will be in town, ESPN Cleveland. He'll run it down for us Friday.
This has changed like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Schwartz, what about Monken? Can he get the job?
Monken's in the running. He's 10-1. He's not out of this.
9 or 10-1 right now as we speak.
That is horrible.
Is he worth a flyer, you think?
No way.
No. I'm talking about to bet on.
Yeah, yes, because it's Haslam.
I think
Apparently, apparently, he's changing his mind every day.
Yeah, I mean,
about what he wants and who he wants.
And if Joe Brady was 12-1 this morning to get the Bills job, and he did, I guess why? If they're talking to Monk and they like the idea of it, probably worth a couple of bucks. Professional sports bettor Aaron Rennie on the program coming up next. We'll talk about tonight's NBA card and go over his power ratings in the Eastern Conference here on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.